medical breakthroughs travel from the developed to the developing world, right? We pioneer something here and then we send it abroad. Not always. Neurosurgeons here in the U.S. are starting to use a new technique to treat infant hydrocephalus. That's a life-threatening condition where fluid accumulates in the brain. But that new technique was actually developed at a small hospital in eastern Uganda. Bridget Huber has the story.
In the operating room at the Cure Children's Hospital, Kasolo Majid is about to go under. He's 2.5 months old. The anesthetist puts a mask on his face. Neurosurgeon John Mugamba goes over the chart. He says the boy was born with a form of spina bifida.
And comes now with the increasing head size.
His head is growing because fluid is building up in his brain. For years, the standard treatment for hydrocephalus has been to use a shunt, a plastic tube that drains fluid from the brain. But here, they use a technique with a really long name, endoscopic third ventriculostomy with choroid plexus cauterization, or ETV-CPC for short. It was developed at this hospital by an American neurosurgeon named Ben Worf. He's back on a visit and is operating on baby Kasolo today.
Knife.
Worf makes a small incision in the baby's head. Then he slips in an endoscope with a light and a camera. The boy's head glows red, the way your cheeks do when you put a flashlight in your mouth. And all of a sudden, on a small screen at the foot of the bed, we're looking at the inside of baby Kasolo's brain. Worf says he sometimes feels like Jacques Cousteau, and it does look like we're exploring the deep sea. Fluid pulses through the brain, and Worf orients himself using anatomical landmarks.
Oh, an infernal Willequist. See if we can see the pineal recess.
He steers the scope into a space at the base of the brain and makes a hole in a membrane there that lets fluid escape. And then, using an electrical current, he cauterizes some of the fluffy-looking tissue that makes the fluid.
Gonna shrink this up a little bit.
The tissue curls up on itself, like a sea anemone does when you touch it.
So that was an ETV.
Worf first came to Uganda in 2000 to help open this charity-run hospital.
I was struck early on by how common hydrocephalus was.
Much more than in the U.S., and here in Uganda, it's often caused by infection.
This was like being in the middle of some sort of epidemic.
Worf started out treating his patients the standard way, with shunts. But shunts can fail or get infected, and that can be disastrous if you live days away from a hospital or don't have the money to get there.
After I got here and started doing this, it started to weigh on me that this was a real problem, and were we really helping these kids?
So Worf came up with an idea. He combined two techniques that have been used in the past, though not together. And it works. The procedure succeeds in about two-thirds of the cases. And it's a permanent, cost-effective fix. In the hospital courtyard, mothers wait to hear how their baby's operations went. They have worried looks on their faces, but there's one woman who's smiling. Ayana Beatrice is here for a follow-up appointment. Her daughter Jennifer, a chubby, cuddly girl, was operated on about a year ago. Her head is still a bit big, but she's doing well.
She's crawling. She can't stand with anything. So there are hopes of her walking.
That's good news. But even so, things haven't been easy. Ayana's husband blames her for the baby's condition. She was taking birth control pills before she got pregnant.
He said, because I was in family planning, said you went and took those pills. Now that I've spoiled my child, I'm not taking care of that child. From then, I'm the one struggling alone.
Her husband left her and their four kids to live with another woman. The doctors tell me it's a persistent myth here that the pill causes birth defects like hydrocephalus.
Okay, checklist, please.
Back in the operating room, Dr. Mugamba, Worf's successor, is teaching a British surgeon to do the ETV-CPC. He's one of many doctors from all over the world who now come to this hospital to learn it. Which is ironic, because when Worf was looking to work overseas, he says he had trouble even finding a place that could use his surgical skills. Most global health projects focused on things like sanitation or vaccines.
Surgery in general, and neurosurgery in particular, were regarded as luxuries of the industrialized world, if you will.
But a growing body of evidence suggests doing surgery in poor countries can be extremely cost-effective. And the poor aren't the only ones who benefit. Worf now does this procedure at Boston Children's Hospital, and it's also being piloted at several other hospitals in the U.S. Worf's been recognized with a MacArthur Genius Award. He says he never would have developed the technique had he not come to work in Uganda, where the constraints and conditions forced him to find a better way.
We're not just delivering something to an underprivileged part of the world. Global health and global surgery is really a two-way street.
For The World, I'm Bridget Huber, Mbale, Uganda.
Bridget's reporting was funded with a grant from the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting. You are listening to The World.